Welcome to
Hello.
The Nerf Herder Podcast,
episode
two.
Dos.
Duo.
Do.
Deep-a-doop-de-do. Yes.
Whatever.
Okay. So, this episode, we're not actually going to Crimdill anything.
No. Why? Because we're going over all the announcements from the New York Toy Fair 2014.
Yes, that was on the 14th or the 15th.
I have no idea. I just know when people post this stuff.
Yeah, so it was like yesterday-ish.
So this has taken over Reddit, and MLD, My Last Dart, has posted about it with lots of nice pictures. So
and some nice video, too.
Yeah, we thought we'd go over and kind of talk about the stuff, what we know about it, how we feel about the stuff, because there. Ooh, I have lots of things to say.
Lots of feels.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to actually go in the order that you posted these?
Tonight? Yeah. So I was looking through MLD's pictures, and I was just writing down all the stuff so we don't forget. I guess the order is going to be starting with the Rebel stuff. We have the Rebel crossbow that actually looks like a crossbow. The Rebel weird, funky-looking strife. The Rebel Triad Fire Strike, which we mentioned in the last podcast, I believe. We have the attack nids, we have the very anticipated demolisher, we have that camera blaster. I'm just going to call it the camera blaster because I don't... The ECS-12 camera blaster?
What does that even stand for? Is it
electronic clip system blaster, yeah.
Oh.
Then we have...
I like that a little bit better than the electronic cameras.
Yeah, and then we have the Mega Thunderbow. And then we have the Sling Fire, the very much anticipated Sling Fire, which actually was working this time, so that's pretty cool. So I think we should go in order with Rebel, then Attack Nid, Demolisher, Camera, Mega, Sling Fire.
Okay.
If that works with you.
Yes, that works with me. So I'm actually going to load up. I'm probably going to start lagging just a little bit. I'm at my grandparents', my grandpa's. Because my house is a little crazy sometimes, so
it's all good.
I just came over here.
Yeah. So
plus, Grandpa gets lonely. So
MLD's blog has a lot of good pictures, as I said. Some very good videos. So we're gonna be going off of that and all the information that we have already gathered from the leaks, from the videos we've watched, all that good stuff. And I guess we'll just kind of go over how we feel. Before we have actually tried it out, how we think they will perform. Because sometimes you are surprised when you actually get your hands on something.
Prime example, the Centurion.
Sorry. I had to vomit at that. It was...
I'm not afraid to say this. I actually haven't even gotten my hands on a Centurion. I've just seen everybody else trying to play with them, and I would liken it to sucking an elk's dick. It is not a fun experience.
I found it really funny during Christmas that Nerf's Facebook wall just got spammed with people like, oh, is the Centurion not supposed to work out of the box? I'm like, yes, it's not supposed to work. I'm being dead serious. I never did a review on the Centurion because if I did, it would be me throwing it against the wall and saying how garbage it is. But
Please make that video.
It's a little late for that now, and I don't have a Centurion, and I don't feel like wasting the money on one. But let's start out with the announced Rebel stuff. I guess for those who can't see the blasters, we'll kind of do a little description of them and just talk about them.
Yes.
We'll start with the Rebel crossbow is kind of like a pistol-sized crossbow. I'm sure that you've seen them in like video games. And
I have actually played with a real-life pistol crossbow sort of thing that I actually killed a little woodchuck or something with it because it was digging beneath this guy's trailer home thing up in Pennsylvania, which is surprisingly rednecky, the area that I was in. So it was, hey, go and get that dang varmin!
Yep.
And I got that dang varmin, and the guy was very pleased with me. But it actually looked a lot like this.
Yeah, so it's a pistol-sized crossbow that does not use a plunger tube, surprisingly. It is using just bow power, which
is very
different from what Nerf is usually doing. It's more like a zing bow than anything else. Yeah.
And I like zing bows just because when I was three, I started shooting archery, so archery comes second nature to me.
Every war that we have a zing bow brought to, everyone has fun with it. It's one of those things that's kind of like, it's not Nerf, but it provides so much fun when you have friends. Like, we'll just shoot it up in the air to see who can get higher and try and catch it. And it's a lot of fun. Like, it's simplistic fun. And
that reminds me of a scene from Grown Ups where they're playing Arrow Roulette. And they're trying to explain to the wise, what happened to him? He got attacked by Indians.
So
that's
looking.
That's the best thing they come up with.
I'm looking at this picture, and apparently it's going to shoot darts, which is kind of weird because it's an actual working crossbow.
Yeah, I should probably have special.
I would think that darts just seems. It just doesn't seem like it would work.
Try throwing a dart right now. I have a Busby dart.
What was it?
Right
it was
here. That
Bass,
doesn't work very well.
Bass Pro Shop sells that NXT generation crossbow, and they use really big darts on it. And if you try and put a regular dart in it, it will just flip it over in a somersault. So
it's too much power.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this is gonna shoot, but what I do like is the design of it. It's it has that kind of honeycombed handle, which it looks a little weird, but from the angle it's showing, it has this kind of cut out see-through kind of body to it, a really slim body, and then the shell is a see-through pink, and I think it looks really nice. What do you feel about
it? It does look really nice. I feel like they're really gearing it towards the girls in the aspect of it's pretty. I honestly would hang this up on my wall and be like, look at this, look at how cool it is. Let's take it down, let's shoot it a little bit. I have several bows that are like that where they're really not functional anymore.
But they look nice.
But they look really nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go slightly off topic here. I have this bow that is from the Amazon, I want to say. And it's got, the bow itself is about 6 foot long. It's a decent size. Well, that's about normal size. Unstrung. That's about normal size for a bow. It's what's referred to as a stick bow. It's just basically a stick. And the arrows for it are about 8 foot long. The feathers on it are huge. It's glorious. And then the tips are 12-inch long pieces of bamboo that were split in half and then shaped with barbs and stuff. It's really crazy. And I would liken this little crossbow to something like that. You hang it up on your wall and you're like, look at this cool thing that I have.
It's
either going to be really, really underpowered in order to keep the darts.
Shoot the darts, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really worried about this.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like the looks, but I don't see very much modability in it because it's actually using the arm bows, and I'm guessing an elastic band. And from where the bands come in, it doesn't look like it's too strong of a plastic. So I have no idea what you'll be able to do with this.
You know what? I could probably jerry-rig some ammunition
I'm sure.
of my own for it. I mean, let's put it this way. I have made Nerf guns that actually I have killed small varmin with. Just because it was, well, if I do this, can I actually do that? And turns out I can, and I'm like, yep, not going to use this one almost ever again.
I don't see many people getting this because it's not going to be moddable. But something that does look moddable is the Rebel Strife variant. And my goodness, look at that thing. That thing is chunky.
It is chunky.
Wow.
It is smooth.
I don't like it.
It's like my ideal woman. It's
chunky.
Big. It's big, but it's smooth. It's kind of got this curvy, sexy thing going on. It looks kind of aesthetically pleasing.
I don't like it.
The clip stands out to me though. Look at that clip.
Okay, the Strife is already a larger size pistol. This looks bigger than a Strife.
It looks like they actually have handle.
I just don't like it. When it comes to things, I like kind of blocky. The one exception to that is the Koosh Firestorm, which is such a beautiful blaster. There's no hard. There's no hard lines. It's all curves. This has a combination. This has a combination of smooth lines and hard lines, and it just looks really, really big. I'm not liking the clip because it's. I don't know. It just doesn't have. I know they're trying to gear it towards a whole different type of
Nerfer.
Nerfer. I'm trying to say gender, but the clip I don't think should really be that different from everything else. I'm sure they're you can interchange them, but it just doesn't seem to go really well. And I really, really don't like that sling point on the front.
Yeah.
That throws it off, but I know if I cut that off, it's going to look even weirder.
Keep in mind, the Strife does, in fact, have a sling point on the front, too.
It's not a lot big.
It's a lot smaller.
Yeah, this just looks, to me, it looks ugly. I have no interest if, just buy a Strife. I know Nerf is trying to gear towards girls, but I've had talks with people about this, and it's like, girls can buy regular, the regular blasters and stuff.
Right.
You have people saying, I wish they had pink. Like, moms are like, I wish they had pink and stuff. It's like, you can paint them. This is a Strife that they have made even uglier. It's just, it looks gross. I don't like it. It's seriously just the smooth lines mixed with the hard lines, and it just doesn't go together.
Okay, well, that's your prerogative.
I'm just saying. I don't like the look of it. Just get a regular Strife. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, I'll just leave that there. We could fill another hour with that. Okay, so this Triad Strike thing.
Oh, my goodness. I feel this? So bad for Andu because he spent all this time making that Triad Fire Strike, and then Nerf comes out with this.
Oh, man.
That poor man. That poor man. Now, the big debate is, the big question is, how big is the plunger tube?
Yes.
Because for Andu's Fire Strike, Triad Fire Strike, I don't know, Triad Strike, plunger tube is using a stock Fire Strike plunger tube, and those can get some pretty decent output. It's tapered towards the end of it, which is where you get most of the power, but if this is one solid, non-tapered plunger tube, I see many good things coming from this.
Yes.
Depending on its size.
You can actually see in this photo, for those of you who
on MLD site
are not looking at it, it's got that same cage handle that the crossbow has. I don't know. I'm not sure. I like kind of the way it looks. I'm not sure how much I'm going to like the feel of it. You can actually see the one that's closest to you. It's actually primed, I think, and it looks like it has a decent prime.
I'd say about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches of draw.
Yeah. So
I'm not there, so I can't really tell, but that's
right. I'm not going to lie. I like the look of those darts, though.
Yes, I love the Rebel darts. I think they're very
stylish.
Dude, if you can't get down with some girly stuff, then
you're overthinking.
Dude, I love the look of the Rebel darts. They're very cool. They're very swirly and colorful. Yeah. I just love
it. They're fun.
I will say, though,
you're the kind of guy that can't run with, this Triad Strike with the crazy colors. You're probably the same kind of guy that has to check every 5 minutes to make sure those balls are still attached. I know some guys that are like that, and they annoy me because it's like, well, I...
If you can't get down with some pink, you're doing it wrong. I love pink. I love pastel.
It's just a color. You don't have to be brave to wear pink.
I will say, the one thing I don't like about this are the priming handles. I don't like them.
Those look so weird.
It looks like you could spike them up and stab someone with them. But I do, besides the handle, that little front curved area with the see-through, I adore.
That's sexy.
It is so nice. It's very nice. It's a very well-looking blaster. It looks very nice for what it is. I just really want to know how big the plunger tube is.
Yeah.
Because that is the make or break thing here, is if it does not have a big plunger tube, it's not going to sell well to the modding community. However, if it does have a nice plunger tube, I can see people brassing this, CPVCing it, and going crazy with these.
What I am probably going to do is make a very steampunk version of it and stick it up on my grandpa's mantle and see how long it takes for him to notice that that is, in fact, not a Civil War era pistol. That he has up. He actually has a Civil War era pistol.
Oh, wow.
A Civil War era rifle that he made, 58 caliber rifle.
Wow.
He's got six of these that he's made.
That's cool.
Different, modern ones, Civil War era ones. And then he's actually got a Confederate sword up on
his. That's pretty sweet.
Wall, too. So I'm going to stick one of these up there after I steampunk it and see how long it takes for him to notice. But yeah, oh my god, my grandpa's got some.
Something that would be really fun to steampunk is those attack mids.
Yes.
I think that would be very, very cool to steampunk. However, we talked about this in the last podcast, and I do not see a practical purpose for the attack mids. I just don't.
I noticed that they don't claim ranges.
I don't know. I'm sure.
I'm looking at the box right now. They do not claim range.
One thing you have to take into consideration is how low to the ground they are. Now, I see that they can tilt. They can tilt the. But still, it's like, a foot off the ground? It's a foot high. How far can you really shoot that
stuff? It's an ankle biter. I really kind of like this.
I know that MLD did that one RC. I don't even know what it was. Like, air. Surface-to-air missile tank thing. That was like one of his first videos.
Oh, and I gotta see this.
That was at like a 45 degree. That was at a 45 degree angle, and even with mods, it only got 45 feet.
Uh-huh.
So this is flywheel, and I'm sure you can find a way to stick some blades or whatever motors in there, which would be really cool. But there is no practical purpose for Nerf. There's just no
practical purpose. I guarantee if you stick like blades and stuff in there, and you have this out on the HBZ field, you said yourself. Just revving it, not even pulling it out. You scared people.
That's the problem. Why would you spend? I'm gonna take a guess, and this is gonna be about $50. That's my guess. Why would you waste that money just to have something that roars? Now, I just thought, if you are really wanting to do this, you could buy one, cut the legs off, and put the drum, the cylinder, and the flywheel bit on the side of a blaster that you own.
Ooh.
If you really want to go through the effort, take the controller, cut it up so you'd only have the fire button, and put that on the other side. That would be kind of a cool integration. I don't know how practical that would be because of the wiring and like all the internal pieces. But I mean, if that'd be really cool if it turned out to be not as hard as I think it is.
See, I have this ultimate armor sort of thing that I've had going in my head that a buddy of mine and I are planning on making that could possibly be sold to military people and police for actual protection through the use of carbon fiber and non-Newtonian fluids to stop bullets and stabbings. But what I want to actually do, and now that I'm seeing this, I could imagine hooking that up to like my shoulder or something.
Like the Nakatame 20 thing, the suit of armor that guy made?
Oh, is that the guy that, like, he has 50...
Four Tommy 20s on his shoulders.
Okay, no, this is a different guy. But, like, the way I actually have all this stuff planned out, electromagnets to hold a, probably end up being, like, a strong arm or something to my hip, and once on my back to hold my primary, but if I have this on my shoulder, I would always have a heads-up display with a camera pointing behind me in the helmet itself so I could actually see what's behind me. Just kind of have that intense little screen. Oh, I want to go all out with this, like completely all out. You know, think 50 grand into this.
No.
And then have one of these little turrets on my shoulder and just if I see something coming up behind me.
But
cool.
That would be a very, I don't know how you'd do it.
It's not practical at all.
I would love to see this happen. However, like I said, I see no practical use for this.
It's not practical, except for the camera behind you and the heads-up display.
Well, this isn't going to have a camera on it. This is just...
No, I'm talking about my armor here.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. But I see no practical purpose for this. I don't see it being too exciting for the kids. I just don't. It's...
Well, if you're like me and you're a tinker and you like the robotics, really exciting.
If you're into robotics and stuff, like that's cool. I just don't see this selling very well. I don't see it being a hot item. I don't see it being a semi-hot item or a lukewarm item. I think it's going to be one of those things that comes up and then it's just going to die.
Okay. Do you think it's going to be like the Centurion?
Kind of, yeah, where there's a... like. I don't see much hype for this. Like, ooh, it's an attack, ooh, whatever.
I think that kind of what led to the huge disappointment with the Centurion was it was hyped quite a bit.
Oh, man. Because like, when you saw it, it was like, so overhyped. It's big, 100-foot ranges. And
2 meters long, this, that, the other thing.
Oh, my God. I see this being...
Maybe this might be a sleeper. Like, we're going to find these again in, like, 2 years and be like, oh, my God, dude! And just freak out about it.
I don't see Nerf hyping this very much. Like, maybe a few commercials. I don't see very many Nerf commercials here in Atlanta anyway.
I don't watch TV very much, and I'm trying to remember the last time I saw a Nerf commercial, and that was probably, oh gosh, for the Strife? No, it wasn't even the Strife. This is back when they were just advertising the Strong Arm and the Fire Strike.
Wow, that was a long time.
That was the last time I actually sat down long enough watching TV, cartoons mostly, to see a commercial.
Another thing I have about this is how many batteries will it take and how long will those last?
Mm.
If it takes double A's, I don't see it lasting very long, especially since that remote's probably going to use triple A's.
Yeah. And now, if it's you plug it into a wall with an AC adapter or whatever thing, a transformer, and it charges an internal battery,
I mean, you could probably replace the battery with something better, like a simple LiPo or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure, I guarantee you, it's either going to be triple A's or double A's. It's going to be double A's for the main thing and then triple A's for the remote control. I am making that prediction now, and I don't see it lasting very long because it has to move all the legs and rev the dart
flywheel,
monsters.
Yeah.
So I don't see it lasting very long, and I know RC cars that you buy from stores only last about 20 minutes.
Yeah. So,
that's just my prediction, and that controller doesn't look very comfortable.
No, it really doesn't.
Too jaggedy.
Yeah, I hope that they do some refinement with
but
that.
We never know. So this could sell really well, like Hex Bugs, but
let's not even get into Hex Bugs.
You can hear the disappointment in my voice.
I think there's actually a Hex Bug in this room right now that my sister left here because she got like 5 of those little like toothbrush ones. Oh my gosh.
So enough about the attack.
For a while.
Let's move on to the 4 most anticipated blasters of the entire Toy Fair and from the leaks. Demolisher, the ECS-12 camera. I don't even... A cam blaster? I don't know the exact name for it. And then
I don't know.
The Mega Thunderbolt.
It's called the cam blaster.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it a Rapid Strike wannabe.
Yeah, but let's start with the Demolisher. The Demolisher is that Strife with a Busby missile launcher on the bottom. It is not a new dart. I don't care what the guy said. It is not a new dart. It is a Busby
missile.
It is a Busby missile. It looks exactly
like
one.
I like the fact that they have like spiral fins on the dart.
That's nice. How do you feel about this? Do you see it being something cool for cosplay? Do you see it being something useful for wars?
Wars, maybe. The type of wars that I usually end up going to, I could see this being really fun where, you know, the missile has a 10-foot blast radius, and if you're inside the blast radius, you are now
You're actually saying something I was going to talk
about. I've talked to some guys who do airsoft wars, and guys have made grenade launchers. Like, that was a big thing for a really long time was make a grenade launcher. And there are these guys I remember talking to. They played at this abandoned warehouse. And there was like this one room that the one team always used as a staging room. And there was this one window. And a guy from like the middle of the warehouse launches this grenade in there. They gave it like a 12-foot blast radius.
Oh, man.
Goes right through this window, just perfect. Lands in the middle of all of them, kills them all, game over right there.
That's great.
It was kind of awesome. So, cosplay, I'm not seeing... I mean, you could definitely do some steampunk stuff with this, some cyberpunk.
You can steampunk anything, to be honest.
Right, well, there are some things that take to steampunking better. The Rapid Strike, not so great for steampunking. The Strife, not so great for steampunking. The Maverick was, like, the go-to...
Yeah. A lot of people use Mavericks at
Dragon. Mavericks. The Strong Arm is not as good for steampunking.
Yeah,
The Panther, I'm actually working on a steampunk Panther. It actually is pressure. It's a pressure blaster, so putting a pressure gauge on it makes sense, and I really like the way that looks. I'll be teasing that some more later. But yeah, I could see this being used more for Cyberpunk or taking the banana clip and people taking retaliators and making AK-47s.
Whatever, which, Call of Duty, Call of Diddy, whatever.
Call of with the colon in the ditty.
Now when I say Call of the Kitty Diddler.
Oh my God, I almost made a terrible joke.
Don't say
it. I need to remind myself who my audience is.
I know, right? I get the same way. But, all right. So, the Demolisher, to me, it's one of those blasters I just kind of don't care about, to be completely honest. I'm not excited for it. I'm probably going to do a review, but from what I've seen, it just does not look exciting. Is it semi-automatic or is it full?
I
know the camera blaster is semi.
They'll probably end up doing full auto.
I remember hearing both it's semi and then it's full and then it's semi, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Even if it's to me, just how do I put this? I love the look of the Rapid Strike. And I think the Rapid Strike is wonderful because you can cut it down to like a really small blaster about the size of a Strife.
Right.
And it's full auto.
It looks smaller than that, really.
One, I hate banana clips.
Okay.
Because this is a 10-round clip, and the entire bottom of it is just for show. Call of Duty Kids, I don't like. I'm just going to say this right now. Call of Duty Kids, the Tact-Elite, Tactical Kids, where they put, you know, oh, it's an AK-47, it's a SCAR, whatever. I cannot stand them. Like saying, oh, the Raven looks like a FAMAS. Like, no, it does not. Just stop.
The Raven just looks like a bullpup.
Yes,
steampunk gun.
The banana clip is going to kind of be that point where kids are trying to make it look like a SCAR, a sniper rifle. I don't care. I don't know why they made a banana clip. I really don't. It's kind of pointless. And why 10 rounds? Why 10 rounds? Are you serious? The grenade launcher, the missile launcher, whatever you want to call it, is hamp-powered, meaning that you pull it out, and then when you push it down, it just uses the plunger tube by itself to push the thing out.
Depending on how good you are with a pump action,
the more you do it, the more your lubricant's going to wear down. That's how stuff works, and eventually you don't have lubricant inside your blaster anymore, or at least it's very dry. Minnie, that's what she said in there.
Yes. there's some kids at home sitting there going, Sorry if your voice isn't actually that high-pitched. I just like to stereotype littler kids as being very high-pitched voices. I will imitate my sisters from time to time, and they always sound like, and then my dad is always like, my mom,
for some HPZ games, they have the rule of if you're within a 10-foot blast radius, you're out.
You're dead,
But those are very hard to control.
It's very hard to control.
So I don't know what the point of the missile is for. I guess just kind of a gimmick, to be honest. But
I think it's kind of to combat Busby and their missile blasters, which I cannot find them here to save my life.
The problem is you can't remove it. Yeah. I don't want that in my blaster, so I would have to cut it off and make a polycarb piece to go over the hole that's left.
Yep.
Are there internals somewhere in there? We don't know. The regular blaster by itself, I mean, I can make a rapid strike smaller than it, so I just don't care about it.
Right.
However, I can see people using this for some type of prof, but not really. That's more of the camera blaster, but we'll get into that next.
Right.
The Demolisher, I'm not excited for. I just don't really see a practical use for it besides the banana clip, and ooh, it has a missile blaster that gets 50 feet. And that's the max range. So I just don't see a point. The stock looks awful because it has that stupid missile holder in it, which...
I thought that was kind of genius the way they did that.
I mean, yeah, but stocks, you're supposed to kind of put your face up against it when you're firing. You're going to have a fin in your face. What's the point of it? The stock would have been really cool if they did not have that giant gaping hole there. So the Demolisher...
Where else are they going to put that other missile, though?
You could put it on the side. You could make it so that it goes underneath the stocks. Like, have... You know how the Sledgefire has the shell holders?
Yeah.
It could have been like that. I don't know.
I think that's what they tried to do here, but yeah, maybe. It didn't work out so well.
Just for me, I do not care about the Demolisher. I'm probably going to do a review on it, but right now, depending on the price range, I just don't care.
How much do you think it's going to cost?
Probably $39.
Yeah.
I think they did give a price range for it, and I think it was $39.
Okay. So. Okay. I'm only excited for it because I like this idea of the grenade launcher, missile launcher, because I want to see people, as a prop maker and a cosmetic modder and everything, I want to see the kids try to make their AK-47 or their... I want to see them do it. I want to see the talent.
Modability-wise, you'll be able to shove tanks in there, and that is the only thing that excites me about it, is the idea of tank space, because we have not seen tank space since the long shot front gun.
Oh my gosh, I have one of those somewhere. I want to find it.
The long shot front gun is the last thing I can remember where you could shove a tank into it and it would fit nicely. you can expand tanks, but this may be tank integration worthy, so that makes me excited. But the blaster that doesn't make me excited. Oh my gosh. The camera blaster.
AKA the Centurion 2.0.
Everything is wrong with this blaster. The price range, what was it, 70?
$75
for a rapid strike. Not even a rapid strike, it's a strife in a rapid strike body. It's semi-auto with a 0.3 megapixel camera that does 20 frames a second. Are you kidding me?
We have just broken the seal on the Angry Bobo, so...
Are you kidding me? Why would you make it semi-auto? That's just stupid. Why would you... They should have made the Demolisher semi-auto, and then the camera one full-auto. The only thing I can think of is... Ooh, the motors were vibrating the camera. That is a lie.
Yeah.
That is such a lie. Why would you put a 0.3 megapixel camera in there? I have seen, there's, at Best Buy.
It's because Nintendo's going out of, or they're having financial troubles. It's like, hey, Nintendo, we'll buy all those old 3DS cameras.
Let me say this right now. I am completely biased towards GoPro, and I have many reasons why.
Okay.
My GoPro does 12 megapixels. That's a lot. This doesn't even do one. What they could have done is, since their factories are in China somewhere, I'm guessing they're in China, Korea, one of the East Asian places, because that's where a lot of toys are made. There are little keychain spy cameras, right, that go for $40 on eBay with free shipping. They have... really good, like 720, full 720p, and the image looks really nice. Yes. I don't know why. Why in the world would you make this a $75 blaster for something with a 0.3 megapixel camera? What they could have done is they could have talked to the companies that make these and gotten their sensors, their cameras, and that would have only been about, like, I'm sure over there it's like $20 max.
Yeah.
Here, why is it 0.3 megapixels?
What I'm hearing you say is, for retail prices, you can make something 10 times better.
You can buy almost two of those 720p cameras. Here's the worst thing. I'm guessing they want people to use it for like first-person shooting recording. Like, here's my battle. 20. Is it 20 or 24?
It's 20 frames per second. Your eye registers, 25 frames per second? Let's just give people an idea.
In animation, 15 frames per second is the minimum you can go before you see chopping. Like, I taught myself Flash. I learned from, a friend helped me learn how to do Flash and stuff. That's what animators use to make a lot of stuff. 15 frames is the lowest you can go before you see chopping. The 20 frames a second is 5 frames away from that. If you ever want to slow your footage down, because that's I record with high frames per second because I know I'm going to slow stuff down. It's more exciting. You can see shots. It's interesting.
You can see a missile hit a foam glider. Stuff like that, yeah.
I shoot at 120 frames per second and 60 frames per second because 60 frames is the highest that the Hero 2 can go at 720p. 20 frames per second, you are not going to be able to slow anything down.
The dart is going to look like a little blue streak.
Have you ever seen those surveillance cameras where a guy is standing one place and then the next frame he's over like 5 feet?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like if you try and slow it down. It's awful.
Now, while we're on that subject, have you seen that video where the guy, speaking of those surveillance cameras, the guy's like in England and drunk off his rocker and he's like falling downstairs and stuff? I would have sworn that guy was a zombie the way he shook off damage.
Don't try and make me laugh about my rant because I'm seriously pissed off about this blaster.
Yeah, just
outside of it being a 0.3 megapixel camera that does 20 frames per second, which is garbage. Absolute garbage. There's no point for that.
There really
is. It is semi-automatic. Why in the world would you take a Strife and put it into a bigger body?
The Strife was big enough.
No, listen. That blaster is not even that good looking. It's not really. Not. It's not. Why in the world would you do this, Nerf? $75 for a Strife with a camera and a camera that's garbage. Archangel on YouTube made a tutorial about how to take a Nerf clip, a 6-round Nerf clip, and make it into a phone holder.
Yes,
Your phone. I had a Samsung Fireburst or Sunburst, which is a garbage phone.
Okay, before you call that a garbage phone, keep in mind I have an NV1.
Listen, your NV1 is better.
It is better, but I cannot take this.
Yours probably has like a 2 megapixel camera. That is how many times more than this camera?
Two megapixels.
Oh my god, I don't understand. I'm an electronics person. I like electronics. I always look at specs. If you buy this blaster,
you're gonna jump.
I want to hit you just because of how dumb you are. It is a gimmick. That is all it is. It will never be anything more than a gimmick. Now, if you want to mod it, I don't really understand why you're paying $75 freaking dollars for a blaster. Think of it this way. That is $25 more than a Centurion for something that's probably going to perform worse than a Centurion. I said it. It's going to perform worse than a Centurion. So at least the Centurion can hit further ranges. It doesn't have a stupid camera put into it.
And here's the other thing. It doesn't have like a little touch screen. It's just...
It's a screen with buttons.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to do with a 1.9 inch screen? They can't really make that touch screen. It's too small. I don't get it!
You know the iPod Nano, touchscreen Nano? I had one of those before it got stolen at my school. I'm not going to get into that because my school can be stupid sometimes. That worked fine. Just take a deep breath. So we have agreed that the Centurion sucks elk.
I would rather buy 2 Centurions than buy one of these.
Now that's saying
something. At least I can do things with the Centurion.
So this sucks like
this is elk over. Dicks. I mean, the stock looks nice, but it's not detachable.
Right. And I'm not gonna lie. I like the white with.
Gray. The color scheme is nice. The stock beautiful. Is nice. The grip looks nice. But it's on an awful blaster! I'm like ranting more than BFU ranted about this.
I'm going to make a comparison right here. It is like putting gold earrings, gold rings, and like a gold crown on a pile of shit and saying, bride.
No. You know what this is? This is exactly like buying Beats headphones.
Oh my god, don't even get me started.
It is exactly like buying Beats headphones. God. You are paying so much more for a blaster. My Sennheiser headphones cost less than a fourth than Beats do, and they are better in every single way. Frequency response, they're better. Frequency range, they are better. They are better. This blaster is the Beats headphones of Nerf. I'm saying that right now. This is the Beats headphones of Nerf. I'm finishing my rant because I've wasted too much time on this. If you buy this, I will make fun of you and I will want to hit you. I'm okay. done. I'm just done. This is the stupidest decision Nerf has ever made.
Okay, so...
my well, God.
Yeah. So the Mega Thunderbow, what do you think of that?
We're just going straight to the Mega
Yeah.
The Mega Thunderbow, I
kind of like it. I like the look a little bit. I can see some cool stuff happening from this.
I don't
see much modding potential.
I just don't... Like, I understand that they want you to kind of fire it like a bow, I'm guessing, because there's no real trigger on it.
No.
But this photo does not give any perspective to it, but knowing how big Mega Darts are, this
have
is...
Have you seen the video of it firing?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's right above the Cam Blaster video.
Let me see this.
It's 55 seconds. It's kind of... I mean, it's...
Let me see this. Do 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 do. Ah, where'd it go? I don't see it on MLD's site, but I will find it later.
Wait, are you down? Hold on. So I just heard the Demolisher video, right?
Yeah.
Go up.
Go up one. Oh. Thunderbow. There it is. Hold on 1 second. I'll mute myself. 1 second.
Yeah, it's a really. I'm kind of excited for this. If it costs anywhere in the range of 25 to 35 bucks, I'm game.
Alright, so I was correct. This thing is pretty massive, but the bow is not as big as I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not. My longbow is a lot bigger than that.
The clack that thing makes is super loud.
Yeah.
I don't see it being... Well, Mega Darts are expensive already.
Yeah.
This will go through Mega Darts really fast. The Magnus is the only Mega Dart blaster that I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
Centurion is garbage. We all know the Centurion's garbage. This Mega Bow, one, it's loud. Two, it's going to go through Mega Darts really fast. Three, I don't see a practicality in any practicality with HVZ unless you make it shoot Elite Darts. And yes. Even if you do that, you can make an AA bow, the homemade PVC bow and arrow, for like $20.
I gotta do that this summer.
I've seen one of those fire tagger hoppers like in person, and they're really impressive. I just don't see a use. This is kind of one of those blasters that I think Nerf was like, we need to pull one out of the scrap bin because we need one more blasters. What about that Thunderbow? Sure. Okay, he said sure. Let's get it.
This is why I want to work for Hasbro. This is why I want to work in their design department.
This is why I want to be an idea man, so I can say no and hit people and tell them they're wrong. But
you will hit them with their failed idea, or at least try to shoot them with their failed idea.
The only way I can see this becoming something interesting is if you cut off the bow arms and you put like a crank handle on the top of it.
Ooh.
Like that's the only way I can see that actually being cool. And even then, it's still gross looking. At least to me, it's pretty gross looking.
I could see some interesting, like, cyberpunk sort of things going on with this. Other than that, there's not a whole lot. Yeah. Now, whereas with the Slingfire, moving on.
Ooh, people are excited about the Slingfire.
I like it. It's, you know, I am actually, I'm not a, okay, I gotta be very careful the way I say this. I am not a big gun buff. I just like shooting guns, and this reminds me very much in the look and the feel of the 30-30 that my grandpa has up in Pennsylvania, and shooting that is hella fun.
Not only
because the rounds are almost a dollar each, but because and they're also like as long as my little finger, but because it's that gun that won the West. Lever action, click, click.
I grew up in Atlanta, which is very city oriented, so I never had like a BB gun or anything like that. And I actually bought a BB gun, my first BB gun, about 2 years ago. And it was because of the Christmas story, it was a Red Ryder BB gun. Because I was like, you know, I don't care about distance. This just looks like fun. And it's one of those lever action ones. And I got really good at, you know, cocking it fast or priming it fast.
Well, with the BB gun, I think you can say cocking.
Whatever. This looks like a lot of fun. However, my complaint is that lever, the action of it is really long. If you watch the video of the guy doing it, it's really big.
Yeah.
Like, even for me, it looks really, really long. And I think that's going to mess with a few people because you have to push it down really far where I'm used to just kind of clacking it, pivoting my on my index finger. This, I have to actually push my whole hand.
Right. And well, with the 30-30 that I'm used to, it actually, like, you have to go really far to get the shell to eject. It, the way it works is you slide the shell in on the
side. Yeah, I know how 30-30 works.
And it comes out the top. You really have to crank it. So this should not be too much of an issue.
I would like to say, being an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, excuse me, I'm a really big fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger only because he's like the one actor that can do one-liners and not piss me off. And it's just, he's not a good actor. His movies are just really funny.
And all he has to, you know, is get to the chopper.
Yeah, get to the chopper. Who told you you could eat my cookies? And stuff like that. Everyone was excited about the Terminator shotgun like thing, except what people are forgetting is it's not just slam it down, slam it up. It's an actual rotation.
Right.
It's a rotation. It's a flip. And seeing how it works now, that flip, I think that flip is going to be really hard to accomplish. I think if you like, I got good with the flip with my sledge fire. You know, I made that in the end of the review video.
Right.
This is going to be really different. My one other complaint is I think the magazine is too far up for my liking.
Yeah.
But that has to do with the movement of the lever. But if they brought it back like a few inches, I think it would look cooler with the longer barrel on it.
Yeah. I could definitely see people actually going in and making a, you know, like something that looks like the gun that won the West. Aesthetically, I like the feel that they're going with.
Yeah,
with the zombie strike line.
It's going to be a very interesting blaster. I think it's going to be something that a lot of people are going to like.
I like this line in general because it's very experimental. It's like anything goes.
Well,
they should have thrown they should have thrown the Thunderbow in with the zombie strike equivalent.
I just don't,
because this is their experimental area.
Yeah,
I want them to have a crank action Gatling gun sort of thing. Just anything goes, except
modding,
for electrics.
Modding-wise, I actually thought about this. You know the 3K Raider that people make?
Yes.
If you can get the mechanism to work, depending on how the mechanism works, you could probably pump up a tank with that lever somehow. I know someone made a lever-action 3K, and the way that worked was it had an S in it. I'm sure there are guns that do the same thing where it has that kind of S shape in the lever.
Right.
But the way it worked was it pushed the breech back with that S shape and then brought it back up. If you replace the breech with a piston and put a pump in the back of it, you could put a 3K tank into it and use the lever as the pump. So, depending on how the internals work, this could be a really interesting interesting blaster to shove tanks into.
I like where this is going.
And seeing how that lever's going to be actuating the breech, I think it's going to be very, very possible to do this, which is kind of exciting if you think about it. Like I said with the Demolisher, we haven't had an easy blaster to put tanks into.
Right.
So this could be another contender for that, depending on the internals. So, and also the stock looks very, very easy to cut down. So
yes,
so that's going to be.
It does not look like there's anything in there.
Oh yeah. So this,
actually one of the big things that the guys going out west did, because they didn't need to
shoulder it.
They were on horseback, and they also cut down the barrel a lot too. The ones that we always think of, that was guys around here, or just a little further, well, I say around here, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan area, and a little bit further west, shooting bears and cougars off the rocks.
Yeah.
When guys went out west, they literally had like a pistol grip sort of thing with a short barrel.
Did they
just
do a lot of hip firing with it? Because that's what I see it used for, is a lot of hip firing.
Yeah, that was one of the more common things. I mean, most of the time you're on horseback, though, and it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah. Let me say that I can totally see the hype for this blaster. It's very different. It's going to replace, or I mean, I guess the tech, what was it, the tech rifle that Busby came out with a long time ago. That's been out of the picture since I played my first HBZ game.
Yeah, I'm not even familiar with this.
So it was Busby's attempt at a lever action rifle or something that used
I vaguely
the shell
remember
flips.
This.
Those were garbage for HBZ. I believe this is Hasbro's take on that. I don't know if they kind of copied it since a patent ran out or something, but this looks like
right.
Since this doesn't use the shell ejection that the Busby one, I see this being a very, very practical blaster for HBZ, especially for people who want to dress up like they're from the West or something. Because I know people like to dress up, and I think this blaster is going to be really good. Depending on what type of plunger tube it has and how easy it is to cock. And like with the sledge fire, if you can cock it halfway and it will still fire, I think that would be the best option for that blaster. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited to try it out. And, I mean, if I hate it, I never have to buy another one. So I think the hype for the sling fire is perfectly fine. Unlike the hype for the camera blaster, which no one
calm down.
I know. I just had to go back to it, but
stay on topic, yo. Yeah. That's the last thing you put there. Stay on topic, yo.
So
if you go further down next to they show like the other bows.
The Star Wars blasters.
I'm just gonna say this about the Star Wars blasters. The Star Wars one, I can see some cool cyberpunk stuff happening with that.
That looks like a Needler. Now that I think about it.
Which one?
The Galaxy Star Lore Quad one.
Yes, it does look like a Needler. I was thinking more plasma pistol, I was excited for.
Needlers were the best pistols in Halo. I don't care what anyone says, they're the most fun and best pistols in Halo.
Do you call a Needler a pistol? I would liken the Needler, as far as like its awkwardness, to a Strike. It's like, am I a rifle? Am I a pistol?
Dude, if you can dual wield it, it's definitely a pistol. And
it definitely is.
I remember
it was murder
when we played Halo in the computer bay at our school. We were those kids. We took up like 15 computers playing nothing but Halo.
Okay, yeah.
I would dual wield the Needlers and just run out and start making a wall of needles. Like, God damn it, Bobo, quit needling us.
Yeah, my sister, oh my god. I like to run with the needle rifle and just basically tear down people's shields
it's so ineffective.
And then just pop them three times or one time in the head with the
needler.
The needler
is so ineffective, but it's so much fun to make a wall of
it. It is a lot of fun. I actually still have the original Halo Combat Evolved for PC, 1999 release.
Long time ago.
And the freaking Kneeler is beautiful in that.
Yeah.
Not so much against the Flood, though.
A little bit of shell work to make it bulge out more, and that's seriously a needle or a plasma pistol.
I'm really excited for that.
I see cosplayers having fun with that one.
Yes. Even just as it is, cosplayers are going to have a lot of fun with it. Now,
a repaint to get that kind of bluish purple, and you're basically done.
Pretty much. And then you can do some really easy LED work with it.
Yeah.
Depending on what the internals look like, of course. It just takes a little bit of work, guys.
Now, I didn't see this. I kind of scrolled past it, but that jolt.
Yes, that looks cool.
What in the world is that? I think it's ugly.
It's funny looking, and I like it because it's funny looking. And that mask, I think, is ridiculous.
Weird. That mask is so dumb. I'm sorry.
It looks like something from like Team Fortress 2 or something.
I just think it's so dumb.
Yeah.
One blaster I completely forgot about, which I'm actually really interested in, is the Rebel bow that actually shoots arrows.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I don't know why.
That seems really unsafe.
It seems really unsafe, but I'm really excited about it. I think it's a very cool concept for if you want to, I know my friend had a bow and arrow, and he had like a pretty long backyard, narrow but long, and he would shoot his bow out there. I didn't really have that as, you know, when I was growing up. I had kind of a deck that was like 20 feet off the ground and then a big backyard, so I couldn't really use it, and the dog pooped out there, so I didn't want to step on dog poop. But for those who are interested in archery, you know, I guess since it's the Rebel line, it's very much Hunger Games. It's a very cool idea, because I know that other bows have those suction tips, they don't have fins.
Yeah.
I know the NAXT generation stuff is like $30 for a toy bow and arrow, and but this looks legit.
Now, before we go too much further, you were describing your backyard. That sounds just like mine.
Yeah.
Although the grandpa's that I'm over at right now, his backyard is, well, I think he has a huge front yard and a huge backyard. Overall, I think he sits on about an acre almost.
Nice.
And this is where I basically grew up shooting and everything, not actual guns because we're still within city limits. But he made, at age 3, he made me an Osage Orange bow, which, for those of you who are not bow wood savvy, that is the ultimate bow wood, is Osage Orange. It has everything that you want. And he took the deer that he shot that year, took the sinew from the back strap, and did a sinew backing for it. It's a beautiful bow. I still have it. The arrows that it shoots are about the size of Zing arrows. It's beautiful. This man, he's built guns and bows, and he grew up on a farm where I'm actually looking at right now, arrowheads from Native Americans that lived just below his farm. I can't remember what the book is, but I think it might be The Frontiersman. The area that it talks about, that's where my grandpa grew up. So I had a very extensive, firearms history growing up. So I learned by age 7, I was shooting guns on my own, buying them. I say with air quotes because legally I couldn't, and I still can't quite. I just gave my mom $50 and said, here, this is the gun that I want, and can you get a 50-pack of 22 rounds for it? It's like, sure.
With all that background, you actually think this is a kind of an interesting way
it's
to get...
Interesting, yes. It is a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. I do really like that reflex sight, pinpoint sight that they have with it. The only thing that worries me is it's elastic powered. It's than a glorified slingshot.
Also, the fletching on the arrows something that I'm always concerned about. And that little kind of narrow area that it goes through, I can see wrecking fletching really fast.
Now, with actual archery, arrows.
Well, I know, but this is foam.
Did they actually say it's foam? It looks more plasticky. We used to use exclusively turkey feathers, but we've moved towards kind of plasticky rubber fletchings, and those look just like those.
Look at the picture of the pinpoint, and you'll notice that there is only 2 fletchings on it.
Yes, that has me a little worried.
So that's why I'm saying it's probably going to rip them off really fast.
You can shoot it. Well, here's the thing. The fletchings in the long run, within 15, 20 feet, they're not going to do too much. It's when you start getting further distances. I see guys shoot arrows with 2 feathers, 1 feather, 0 feathers, perfectly fine. Some of the best arrows that I've shot have no fletchings at all. And some of the worst arrows that I've shot have beautiful, 6 feathers on them and, arranged in such this pattern and all this beautiful stuff. But they suck ass.
Yeah.
So fletchings is not your biggest concern.
I'm just saying that for a toy, I would want it to last a while because...
Right.
But that narrow area is... And plus, parents are going to complain if the fletching falls off. You know what's going to happen. They're going to be like, it's already broken.
But people complain about everything. Yeah. So,
and lastly, we have that Zombie Strike Double Strike, that little pistol.
Yeah, that looks kind of cool.
I don't care.
I like it just because, again, cosplayer, cosmetics, it just looks cool, and I'm excited.
I don't like the idea of it shooting 2 rounds at once because I like the idea of being able to conserve ammo. Then again, you can blow it once, but at the same time, I would want it to go pow, pow, instead of pow, pow.
Right.
But
so you don't like you've already said you don't really like the Sludge Fire too much.
Dynatron. I mean, you can load it once. The Dynatron is awful because you have to fire two discs at once. What I was going to say is,
I like it just
instead,
for the gimmick
instead of buying the Double Strike or the Devil, whatever it's called, try and get yourself get one of those secret strikes, the one with the two barrels where it has the pump in the front of it and you push it forward to shoot one in one of the back. It's a vintage blaster. You can find them on eBay sometimes.
I almost bought one for about
They're really nice. I if you reinforce the area where the spring goes, put a slightly stronger spring into it, and then CPVC the barrels, it gets pretty decent range. The only problem is you have to front load it, which is total old school. Yeah. But I think they have more purpose than this zombie strike pistol. And a triad will get you three shots instead of two. And they're easier to prime.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I just like it for the looks of it.
Yeah, I can see people, you know, cosplay. Now,
this white triad looks kind of cool.
It's a triad.
It's a triad, but
not a fan of repaints. I just don't really care about them.
There's this... it looks like a strong arm with some added stuff just above with the
hit points. Oh, yeah, the Rebel strong arm. Spylight? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Spylight? No, the Spylight. Oh, is that?
It's a Spylight. It's the Spylight. So I'm guessing that thing on the top of it is a flashlight or a laser of some sort.
No, what I heard was that it's supposed to have, like, a little... pen with it, and you're supposed to like write messages on the darts, and it has a little light.
Oh, and it lights it up, and you can read it when you get it.
Yes,
that's interesting. Though
I want one of these just so that I can shoot hate messages at my sisters, and they won't ever tell.
I don't.
They won't ever know.
Why not just write it on a piece of paper and then
and ram it in the barrel and just like
when are you gonna use this? Like, ooh, I brought my spy light to class. Better shoot it across the room. No, that's stupid.
I just like it for the gimmick.
It's kind of like
girls love gossip. Okay.
let me gossip about this by shooting it across the room. Just go tell the person. Ooh, Becky's here. God, I hate Becky. Better shoot this message to my friend. Like, why did we invite Becky? Yeah, I don't know why we invited Becky. I'm so bored. It's like, what do you? No, it's a gimmick that I don't think is practical.
I just want it because.
You know what else is a gimmick that isn't practical? The camera! I'm just
fucking... Oh, my God.
So, what do you think of the reveals and the Toy Fair overall? Like, if you break it down to Rebel and then the other blasters, because the Attack Nids are in a total league of their own. So, Rebel blasters and then the other blasters combine into two different categories.
This is really the first one that I've ever paid attention to.
That's true. That's very true.
Like, before this, I was just kind of, I rode down to my local Walmart and I saw it, I was like, ooh, boy! And then I come home, and after buying it, I'm like, has anybody else done a review? And it's like, Drac did, and I'm like, shit.
The last one,
that guy gets it.
2013, I remember I was just like, I want to go to it. And that's about all I remember from it.
Yeah.
But this one, whew,
there's a lot of stuff. I'm really excited for the Rebel line. I feel like it's really kind of getting some momentum going.
Yeah, because the it used to be just bows and
I don't understand. Pistol.
Yeah, like I don't care about bows. What's so great about a bow?
I just like the bows because I feel comfortable with a bow in my hand because I know how to work a bow. There is a style of shooting called gap shooting where, like, if you have to arc or like reverse arc, which I have to do a lot because I usually my bow is a 48 pound at 29 inch draw, and I'm just a little over 29 inch draw, I think. I don't quote me on this, but I get a little bit more than the measured draw length, so I'm getting closer to 50 pounds with this longbow, and I'm shooting 675 grain arrows. To give you an idea, the average arrow is going to be probably 300 grains, so I'm shooting a super heavy arrow. I want to get 800 grain arrows just because I won't have to gap shoot as much. If I'm at 20 yards, 60 feet, I have to aim about 8 inches below the bullseye in order to hit the bullseye.
That's so weird.
I go out to 50 yards, I have to aim maybe 2 inches above the bullseye to hit the bullseye. Gap shooting. So that's so
interesting. I didn't know you had to aim downwards.
Well, I do. A lot of other guys, and it also has to do with your sight, the way you sight.
Yeah. I'm just saying
I taught myself since age, well, I kind of taught myself. My grandpa taught me the basics, and then I just ran with it. I'm to the point now where if you light a candle downrange, I can blow out the candle with the arrow without actually hitting the candle, fletching.
What
this has to do with Nerf is I get really good at arcing my shots.
Mm-hmm.
So what I told you the story of when I arced a 100-some-odd foot shot with the candle. So
it becomes kind of like a second nature in the NIC where it's you don't think about how far away they are, you just kind of aim.
You just start doing it. So that's why I feel more comfortable with the bows. I am a lot better at that.
Yeah.
So you have to remember that these
aren't going to be anything like real bows, I'm guessing.
Right. You have to... Well,
when it comes to Nerf, accuracy does not exist.
No, it does not. Zing, there is a fair amount of accuracy.
Oh, yeah.
I got really, really good with those.
As long as you keep it lined up straight with your with the bow arms, they're really accurate. I'm surprised.
To the point where I'm sitting out with my grandpa, and I've shown this off, and he has telephone lines that go through his backyard, and there is a, I forget if it was like a dove or a robin or something. I hit it. I felt so bad because you just hear dunk, and I was like, oh, I actually hit it. So that's my story about the zing bows and the.
How do you feel about the dart blasters?
I feel like they're making progress. The little crossbow thing that they have, I'm still considering that a dart blaster because it shoots darts.
Yeah.
That has me a little worried. I don't see too much that you can do. I think maybe if you put a...
half piece of CPVC or something?
That, or like, if you have like a bamboo slab thing over the top of it to keep it down... that will greatly increase the accuracy and the overall effectiveness of it. The spy something or other.
Spy light?
Yeah. I just want that because I can write a message and I just think that's gimmicky and cool and I just want it because it's quirky. Other than that, you know, the tri-strike thing, they have to be looking at us and getting ideas from the community.
MLD once stated that he talked to some of the designers and engineers at Nerf, and like the Strife was just announced, and he was like, "Oh yeah, the Strife," and they're like, "Oh yeah, that we made that like 2 to 3 years ago. Like we came up with that concept 2 to 3 years ago."
Yeah, I would imagine that you know they already have stuff planned way in the future.
Yeah, I just think it's really funny that Andrew made that. And it's like, hey guys.
I think that they have another 12 to 15 mega blasters that they're just holding on to right now. And if they've come out, they already have given the Arachnid. They've already given it a series, so to speak, combat creatures. Are they going to have like a little Land Rover style one? Like this seems more like something that you'd send down the hallway to shoot your dad as he gets out of the bathroom. Are they going to have like a little Land Rover type thing that has like...
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. What I really want to see them do is make a little flying one because I'm going to make one regardless.
I mean, they already have... Air Hogs already has like helicopters that shoot.
Yeah. But I don't want a helicopter. I swear to God, my grandpa's a kid. He bought one of those... Air Hogs helicopters that drop bombs.
I like
them. They are a ton of fun. I got really good at flying that. At this point, I could launch it right now and drop a bomb in my grandpa's shoe.
I just think that making one that flies would be too expensive for their market.
That's probably. But like I said, I can take dollar sheets of foam board
but then,
and make $50 airplane that shoots.
It's still $50 though. $50 though is quite a bit if you want a cheap toy.
But when you think about the $50, most of that $50 is going towards the electronics in it.
Yeah.
It's $5 for the foam, and if it breaks, I take the electronics off and buy another $5 worth of foam. Or, you know, scrap that design completely and do something else. It's really versatile and it's really fun. So,
to be honest, I think they'll stick with arachnids. I'm basing this off of Hex Bugs, how Hex Bugs hasn't really gone off of the original concept of toothbrush with motor. It climbs tubes now, but that's because they put a fin that touches the other side of the tube, and it kind of keeps it in there. Like, they haven't really done anything else
right
in that line, and that's how I feel. It's probably going to be like, ooh, you can add some armor bits to it now. Oh, I know you're going to be able to put, like, different weapons on it, because that's what the original attack nid could do, is there was a ball blaster, a disc blaster, and a dart blaster.
Ooh, that's cool.
I don't see this line getting very far.
I hope that they do a, like, fast attack vehicle. Hexbugs did a, like, centipede sort of thing that had these weird, like, three-finned wheel sort of things that kind of would, like, dig into the earth and crawl.
Huh.
I hope that they make something like that, just because I feel like it would be a really cool ankle biter sort of thing, like Nom did. That thing, I still love the fact that, like, he puts into a tight spin, it, like, drifts, and then he fires off three shots.
Oh, no, that was Coop.
Oh, that was Coop? I thought that was Nom.
No,
oh.
Nom didn't
I'm sorry.
That.
I'm giving Nom credit for something he didn't do. Well, Coop's out of it, so no credit for him.
But, my take on all of this is the Rebel line is, I mean, some of the stuff just looks ugly. the crossbow I don't see really being, I love the design of it. I think it's very nice looking. I just don't think elastic powered stuff is the way to go.
If they had it shooting arrows like the one.
Yeah, if it shot arrows, I'd understand, but it's shooting darts. It's shooting darts, and I don't understand that. The Rebel Strife is an ugly blaster that I want nothing to do with. So basically, the Rebel series has only...
It has its ups and downs.
It has one blaster that I'm actually interested in, that's the Triad Strike thing. The dart shooting blasters, the Zombie Strike Megabow, and the Camera Blaster and Demolisher, out of all of those, I'm really only interested in one. And that is the Sling Fire. The Demolisher, I don't care about. And the Camera Blaster, I will do everything in my power to keep people from buying it. Just because. Seriously, it's an awful idea, and I don't know why Nerf went through with it.
Now, but when they show up at Goodwills and, like,
oh, yeah,
big
I'll definitely
lots,
buy one if it's, like, 10
for, like,
bucks or
10
less.
Bucks? Yeah, okay.
I'll definitely buy that. I'll probably gut the camera out, cut that entire piece off, the top. And kind of, because without that top piece, it's very streamlined. It looks like not to be a COD person or anything, but it looks a bit. No, actually, upon further inspection, it doesn't look like an AN-94, but it has a very straight level that I like. And I usually don't like cutting tack rails off of stuff, but this just—it's very straight, and you could probably put that camera to better use doing I don't know what
surveillance work.
I guess, but.
Like, I would set that up to monitor, like, because if I were to get one of those cameras, I worry about stuff getting out of my aquarium.
It's 3 megapixels. You can buy a better camera for cheaper on Amazon or on eBay. The Megabow, I don't care about. It's just wonky. It's mega, so it's going to cost a lot to keep up. It's going to cost a lot to keep up with because mega darts are expensive.
Now, has anybody tried making mega Steffens?
Yes, back in the old days when the original Megas were used. People made, I think it's 3/4 inch diameter Steffens. They were Mega Steffens. Mongos is what they're called. They're called Mongos.
Mongos.
But yeah, people used to do that to fit into the barrels of old stuff. But the new Mega series...
Did they not realize that you can take half-inch CPVC and put a little electrical tape around
it? Well, I think they were used as special darts. I'm not entirely sure, but like, you know, sometimes you want to keep your stuff stock, but you want to also keep, you know, make it shoot Steffens. But the new Mega stuff, which I don't understand. I mean, I understand why they don't make it fit with other stuff, but that would have been really cool if they did. I feel like Nerf has completely forgotten about its past. But the new Mega stuff is so expensive to keep up with, and this blaster shoots more than 3 darts. It's kind of like when I talked to MLD about a Gatling gun for Megas, and I said it's just not going to happen. Like, it would be way too expensive. That's how I feel about the Megabo. It's too expensive, it's wonky, and it looks ugly.
Well, but speaking of Gatling guns, I heard that they are going to be, like, re-releasing the... They're going to try to start a whole new line and be re-releasing the Vulcan.
Yeah. They're it's just going to be a repaint.
Yeah. And maybe, but like, what are they going to call it?
I think it was called the... It wasn't the Havoc Fire. It was something else.
No, it was the Havoc. Yeah.
See, no, the Havoc is what the Australians and UK people call it.
Well, they were going to call it the Havoc over here now.
I guess. But so, I don't really... I never really liked the Vulcan. Vulcan has never had a purpose in HVZ. Like, it looks cool, yeah, but it doesn't have any good use to it. Overall, I mean, it's interesting to see where Nerf is going with their toy fair, but there's only, like, two or three blasters that I'm actually interested in.
Yes.
And I think they've made some very large mistakes that they should fire people over.
Well, Bobo, this is the part where you go and you work for them and you make the thing that you
I'm
want.
I'm serious,
to do
dude. I will Let's give you the best videos ever.
You know what? No, better yet, you go and work for Busby.
Man, I would actually be honored to work for Busby. That would be a very cool job to have.
Like, let's do it. Let's work for Busby, and we can help Busby, like, cater to the models.
I mean, all I'd have to tell them is make the Panther tank bigger and they'll get a big market back, because that was such a bad decision.
I bought two Panthers because I knew I was going to need the two for a pair of commissions that I have. And then I bought a third one because I wanted to still have one.
Did you find one of the larger tanks?
No, because all that they had was the small new tank. Ones.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It leaks. It leaks like terribly.
Does it?
Yeah.
What you need to do is take the tank by itself, drill out a quarter inch hole into the back of the tank, being very careful, and then super glue tubing directly into it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's how you do back pressure tanks, is you just drill a small hole into the back of it and then super glue it. And it's surprising how strong super glue is to hold that tubing in there. But overall, Toy Fair, very interesting with what Nerf is doing.
Yes, they're taking it in a whole new direction.
Yes. Do you want to end with a story?
How about you start with the story and I'll think of a story.
Oh, goodness. I guess I could talk about the Turner Massacre. This is another HVZ story. The Turner Massacre, oh, goodness. First year, there was a group called Pantheon. And what they did, they were a message relay group for the humans. And that doesn't really sound like too big of a thing since, you know, cell phones, whatever. But if any new information came out, they were, like, one of the first people to call up or send out a relay team to go tell humans who are not around their cell phones. Like, some people don't want to, you know, run and fall on their cell phone. It's completely understandable. But they would relay stuff to people, and they were kind of a good asset. Second year, however, is where they went wrong. They worked as an information team again, but they also worked with, I guess, kind of like what the zombies were doing. They would try and find out what was going on. What happened was there was a guy in Turner, which is a dorm area. It was a 5-story tall dorm area. It's 4 or 5 stories, and it had a very long courtyard with the rooms on the sides of it. And the rooms were built in a U-shape, so... You know, you can run down one end and go around and go up on the other end. And it was a very long courtyard with a fountain in the center and a walkway and, like, bushes. It's probably what you're thinking of right now.
Right.
There was a guy there named Mr. Cherry. I'm not going to say his first name because I don't remember it. But Mr. Cherry was stuck because Turner is basically Turner and Tanix, which is a smaller motel-style dorm next to it, are always the hive spots. Tanix, the first year, the OZ was in it, and by, like, the third day, everyone in Tanix was a zombie. They are the hives, basically. Jeez. So, Mr. Cherry was stuck. How do you get out of a stuck situation? Well, you talk to Pantheon. Apparently, you talk to Pantheon, and you tell them that you have really good information for them about what the zombies are doing, but you need to get out of Turner first. Of course, Pantheon's going to jump on this. So he said something about... I'm not entirely sure what he said, but how did Pantheon decide to get him out? Well, they sent out false information about the mission. They said that instead of where the mission was actually taking place, it was taking place in Turner. And I believe what they were going to do is use that as a distraction so he could get out via – there's two ways to get in, the back way and the front way. I think they were going to try and get him out the back way or use the humans that were already there as kind of like a defense mechanism to help him out just in case.
Right.
This is where things go bad. The zombies found out about this information. The one thing you did not want happening, zombies, found out about the false information. So what happened was, I think it was, there was conflicts going on. My friend Neil can tell this better than I can, because I wasn't there this year, or that year. And something happened to where humans went there because of the false information, zombies went there because of the false information, and what happened? Take a guess at what happened, Vlad.
I'm going to guess that everybody just got...
Take a guess at the death toll for this mission.
I'm going to guess there was an 85% casualty rate.
I think 300 people played that year. Over 80 people died in Turner.
God.
80 people. And that's from what I've been told by Neil, who is like the most reliable source I've ever had for HBZ. He called me up that night because I wanted to like information. He's like, Will, you're not going to believe what happened. I was like, what? He told me the entire thing. He said 80 people died. I was like, are you kidding me? So people were not happy about this because they weren't even in the right area.
Please tell me they like lynched.
Pantheon released these apology videos. Like the funniest of them were like, we didn't know what was going on. It's like, you guys are such liars. And then the next year they actually tried reviving Pantheon. We're like, do you want to join it? Everyone was like, no, screw you. So the Turner Massacre, I believe, is still SCAD HVZ's largest death toll of around 80 people.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's not awesome if you think about it. But, I mean,
look, I wasn't there, so it was awesome.
Like the first year, we had the Dyson Massacre, which I think took 20 people. That's for another day. But this, my God, blew it out of the water. 80 people just dead from a mission that wasn't even there.
It did not exist.
Yeah, it did not exist.
That is hilarious.
It's pretty ridiculous. So, yeah. Okay. Don't send false information just to get a guy out of Turner. And the worst part, he didn't even have any information. That's the worst part. He was lying just to get out.
I figured he didn't have
any information. He didn't have any information. He was just trying to get out, and he needed a distraction. So he was
People will say whatever they need to say.
So, I guess my stories will always have a lesson to them because I can create lessons from them. Last episodes was have fun, exploit things, and be intelligent. This one is do your own thing. Don't always believe information you were given during HVZ because people are out there to get you. This you can think of it as like the Illuminati is real during HVZ, I guess.
When I go and play HVZ, I'm now going to be part of the Illuminati of HVZ. That's going to be my team.
Most schools will use email to put out their information. Like the moderators will never lie to you about stuff. Always check your email before you believe someone else is telling you something. Double check, triple check, and then do what you feel is right, because you don't want to get caught in a Turner Massacre and then be really pissed off about yourself dying. So, yeah, there you go. That is my story and moral of the podcast.
My story is going to be really quick, and it's just going to be me being a smartass, because that's what I do best. So, like I said, I've been shooting archery since I was 3. I really don't have all that many great Nerf stories. They're all pretty much the same. Just we're in the basement, epic headshot from across the basement, whatever. Well, this place that we always go and shoot archery, on occasion they will do 3D target like courses, and usually it's like, you know, an elk, a deer.
Yeah.
Well, this was late spring, so it was the turkey shoot.
Ooh.
Well, there's this one guy, he owns the brothers own this greenhouse chain or whatever, and he and I always just go back and forth, and, you know, we're just rivals. It's great.
Yeah. It's like a fun little rivalry to have at the shooting range.
And for whatever reason, my mom decided she was going to come, too, and take pictures of me as I'm shooting, because I'm like 12 years old, you know, I'm still really young.
Gotta send pictures to the grandparents.
Oh, exactly. Well, my grandpa was there. My grandpa was the one who took me with him.
Well, whatever.
So, you know, we're shooting archery, and the guy, his name is Mark. He shoots this 3D turkey in the head, and it kind of knocks the head ajar, and it's held in by two metal, like, barbecue skewers almost. And, you know, that was a 10-point shot. Heart shot is 20 points, and then if you get it dead center of the heart, it's an X, where if there's a tie score, they add up the amount of X's. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many first-place trophies I won when I was in that age group. Anyways, my mom's like, and my grandpa are like, go ahead, just hit the center of the target, get as many points as you can. And Mark goes, come on, hit the head, show me how it's done. Just instigating me.
Yeah. Well,
he hit it just kind of by the beak.
Uh-oh.
I pull up, I hit it dead center square in the eye, and knock the head off. I decapitated this turkey target.
Awesome.
And I looked at him, I just look him up and down, and I go, that's how we do it. Walked up and retrieved my arrow.
Excellent. You decapitated a fake turkey.
Such a badass.
I know, right?
Such a little smartass, too. Just such a little smartass. And I still am that way. We get to that target every time. We still go out there once a month and shoot when it's not freezing cold to the point where your testicles shrink back up inside your stomach. We go out there and we shoot, and we come up to that target, and we always go, so, they don't have the turkey up. What are we going to shoot at now? One of these days, they're going to put up a turkey again, and it's going to be just like last time.
Except he's going to do it to you, and then he's going to
laugh. Well, now, actually, at that time, I was shooting at about 5 to 10 yards closer than he was. Now I'm shooting at about the same distance he is. So
excellent.
It's a little bit more of an even match. It's still very much the, you know,
yeah,
the scales are tipped in my favor still, but
excellent.
So yeah, that's my story.
Awesome.
The moral of that story is, if you're going to be a smartass, at least be able to back it up.
Yeah, that's very true.
I could sit there with my 20 or 30 first place trophies and go, hey, because
not to brag,
I actually won them. I actually won them. He didn't. So yeah.
Not to brag or anything, but my many, many trophies. And
what's that?
Yeah.
I can't hear you over the sound of all this trophies rubbing against my skin.
Well, on that note, I think we're good with this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed our little look at the Toy Fair coverage that MLD put out. That's mylastdart.com, and then I'm sure you can find it using the navigation.
Use the Google. Use the Bing.
So there's some stuff to look forward to. There's some stuff to go to your local Target and firebomb. And I'm looking at you, Camera Blaster. I'm Bobo Lolo.
I'm Vlad. You can find Bobo at
YouTube.com/IamBoboLolo or Facebook.com/IamBoboLolo. Make it easy.
And you can find me at YouTube.com/VladTheNerfNico. We are at NerfHerderPodcast.blogspot.com.
That's H-E-R-D-E-R, not H-E-A-D-E-R.
Yes, we are not hearing them. We are herding them together.
Yes.
For the people who don't understand, there's a little Star Wars reference in there.
You're scruffy-looking nerve herder. It's for nothing.
My dad did not get that reference. I had to pull that clip up. I was like, Dad, this was your childhood.
Dang
it, right.
Dad. How did you not get that reference?
So, yes, you can email us at nerfherderpodcasts@gmail.com. Ask us stuff. Suggest stuff.
Or you can send me a message on my Facebook. I'm always open to personal messages. So
yes, message Bobo. Yep. He will get them to me.
Yes. So until next time, guys, I guess we need to figure out some cool little tag like keep on nerfing or
it's nerf or nothing.
Just destroy your friends with, I don't know. Anyways,
if you're holding, let's put it this way. If you feel a recoil, you're holding the ultimator too close to your face. There we go.
I don't know. We'll think of something. But for now, thanks for listening, and we'll come out with another episode for you later.
Bye.
Bye.